Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we will be presenting our eighth part in a 14-part series that we have titled Satan's Counterfeits. The Lord Jesus Christ had this to say in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What we will be dealing with today is the third in our series on counterfeit churches, but it is the eighth part of a 14-part series that we prepared on Satan's counterfeits. Now, throughout the world, there are apostate and heretical Christian leaders promoting what is called ecumenical unity by Bible-believing Christians. Those heretics that seek ecumenical unity are seeking a one-world church. It is the church of the Antichrist, and it will lead untold millions into the pits of hell. The ecumenical church will be the satanic church that is beheading Bible believers during the tribulation. See Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. The ecumenical church stands for nothing and falls for everything. The ecumenical church condemns and rejects those that are opposed to the acceptance of diversity of doctrine that is nothing more than rank heresy. There can be no unity in diversity of doctrine. The ecumenical church is the melting pot for every heresy and false doctrine that comes slithering forth from Satan's crypts of corrupt theology. There is death in the pot. Chrislam is the ultimate melting pot for apostate and heretical Christianity and the purely satanic religion of Islam. It attempts to blend Islam with Christianity. Speaking strictly from a human standpoint, no two religious systems could be more diametrically opposed to one another. Speaking from the mind of God, which is the Bible, and the mind of Satan, which is the Quran and the Hadith, no two systems could be more in conflict with each other. They are adamantly opposed to one another. The Quran and the Hadith are everything that God says is Antichrist. In the end, that one-world church is much more than just a blending of Islam and Christianity. It includes every false religion on the face of this earth, including compromised and corrupt Baptists and Protestants. It also includes religions such as Catholicism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Confucianism, Shintoism, witchcraft, wizardry, voodoo, the occult, and the whole host of tribal religions. That is what the Antichrist term, your faith tradition, is all about. You're okay if you just believe. It begs the question, believe what? Its design is to work toward worldwide unity in diversity. That is a huge problem for a Bible-believing Christian. I repeat, there can be no unity in diversity of doctrine. Hebrews 13:9 says in part, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. The Bible commands Christians to separate based upon both false doctrine and ungodly conduct. That covers all of God's words, which is defined as doctrine in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and the application or the conduct of them. Neither can there be biblical unity in the so-called essentials while rejecting other portions of the Bible. All Bible doctrine is essential. So why can't we just get along with the apostates, false teachers, heretics, and pagans? The church and its members are commanded at least six different times to separate from false doctrine and unholy living. Those are documented in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through chapter 7, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 12, Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 20, 2 John verses 10 and 11, and Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. And we will read those. Romans chapter 16, verse 17, the Lord commands us. Verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Then we have 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. Next, we will look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all godliness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Let me reread that verse 11 again. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 20. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we've got 2 John verses 10 and 11. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. That's 2 John verses 10 and 11. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. That's Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. Now, I believe these verses speak unequivocally for themselves without a lot of theological bloviating. They need no explanation. The problem most professing Christians will have with these six passages of Scripture is not a lack of understanding, but rather they will have neither the courage or the convictions to earnestly contend for the faith, because if they do, they will either be accused of being unloving, Pharisees, legalists, or some combination thereof. Since somewhere around the 1960s, the words Pharisee and legalist have been used in American Christianity as Christian curse words to attack those who will not compromise biblical doctrine and standards. These Christian curse words are used like daggers by compromised apostate Christians and unbelievers to hurt and wound holy and separated Bible-believing Christians. They are pulled from the same quiver as Satan's fiery darts. These Christian curse words are used to run cover for doctrinal compromise and sin. Most of the time when you hear the words legalist and Pharisee used, they are rooted in a lack of obedience to the Word of God. So how are real Christians to respond to the accusations of being Pharisees and legalists? We are to respond to them in love and in meekness in an attempt to recover those making the accusations out of the snare of the devil. Most will not respond in a godly manner. Then ye must quit ye like men. Boys, that's what we're talking about here. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Ultimately, compromise and a lack of conviction are the prime ingredients of the leaven of ecumenicalism. Pope Francis manifested that spirit of ecumenicalism in a trip he made to Asia in September of 2004. The devil is in the details, folks. The spirit of ecumenicalism is the spirit of Antichrist. Many of the doctrinally illiterate conservative Catholics have rightly criticized Pope Francis for promoting ecumenical unity with Muslims on his trip to Indonesia from September 3rd through the 6th of 2024. Also on his trip to Singapore on September 11th, 2024, that this Pope had this to say, and I quote him verbatim, "All religions are paths to reach God. They are, to make a comparison, like different languages, different dialects to get there. But God is God for everyone. If you start to fight saying, my religion is more important than yours, mine is true and yours isn't, where will this lead us? There is only one God, and each of us has a language to arrive at God. Some are Sikh, some are Muslim, some are Hindu, some are Christians. They are different ways to get to God." Folks, that statement by Pope Francis is outright heresy and is a complete rejection of Bible-believing Christianity, especially when you take it in light that the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." That is exclusive, folks. It demands separation. It demands a condemnation of all false religions. Now, the so-called conservative Roman Catholics that condemn him for promoting universalism do not know their own catechism. Canons 841 through 843 of the 1994 Roman Catholic Catechism states the following. Canon 841. The Church's relationship with Muslims. The plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator. in the first place among whom are the Muslims. These profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and together with us they adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge on the last day. Canon number 842. The church's bond with non-Christian religions is in the first place the common origin and end of the human race. All nations form but one community. This is so because all stem from the one stock which God created to people the entire earth, and also because all share a common destiny, namely God. His providence, evident goodness, and saving design extend to all against the day when the elect are gathered together in the whole holy city. Canon number 843. The Catholic Church recognizes in other religions that search among shadows and images for the God who is unknown yet near, since he gives life and breath and all things and all wants are all men to be saved. Thus the church considers all goodness and truth found in these religions as a preparation for the gospel and given by him who enlightens all men that they may at length have life. In making his statements in Indonesia and Singapore, the heretical Roman Catholic Pope Francis was only following the official dictates of his false religion. The Pope's conduct in Indonesia and his statements in Singapore line up almost perfectly with the dictates of Canons 841, 842, and 843 that we just read. Read his statements and the canons again. Roman Catholics Canons 841, 842, and 843 are an outright rejection of the Bible and the exclusivity of its salvation offered through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Lord Jesus Christ, again, speaking in John 14, 6, stated, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There is no salvation in any other religion or any natural man. There is no other way and no other truth. Furthermore, there is no other unbelieving faith tradition that works either. The Pope also needs to read, believe, and heed that which Acts 4, verses 10 through 12 states. Verse 10, Acts chapter 4, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." Listen at this. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Ecumenical unity, then, and by the way, that's Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Ecumenical unity leads to spiritual death for those who embrace it. It is a part of the Sardisian and Laodicean mindset. The Sardisian and Laodicean churches are satanic counterfeits that are the work of the spirit of Antichrist. The Sardisian and Laodicean compromise ends in the Medusian embrace of the mother of harlots in Revelation chapter 17, where we read the following. Verse 1, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was written, was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have 1 mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That's Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. Now, for decades, I was taught that the church of Revelation 17 was exclusively the Roman Catholic Church. I do not buy that. The mother of harlots of Revelation 17 is a worldwide synthesis of all the world's false religion. We refer to it as syncretism. The mother of harlots is made up of apostate and heretical Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Orthodox churches, Anglicans, Episcopalians, Pentecostal churches, Churches of Christ, Catholic churches, and other compromised Christian religions. The mother of harlots will also include unsaved Muslims, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, Shintoists, and so forth. I believe that the largest part of the mother of harlots will be the devils of Islam, followed by the Roman Catholics and Hindus. The mother of harlots' most powerful force will be Islam. For hundreds of years, Protestant reformers such as Martin Luther, Ulrich Zwingli, Hugh Latimer, Martin Bucer, William Tyndale, Philip Melanchthon, John Rogers, Heinrich Bullinger, John Calvin, and many others have denounced the Pope as being the Antichrist and the Roman Catholic Church as being the mother of harlots of Revelation 17. I'm not trying to promote or defend heresy here, but much of officially published Roman Catholic doctrine is orthodox, unlike the tenets of Islam that are in violent opposition and confrontation with the Christian Bible. Let me state that again. I am not trying to promote or defend heresy here, but much of officially published Roman Catholic doctrine is orthodox, unlike the tenets of Islam that are in violent opposition and confrontation with the Christian Bible. Like all false religions, Islam claims to be the latest and final revelation of God to man. The Quran, the manifesto of Islam, is a satanic synthesis of the Christian New Testament, the Jewish Tanakh, Christianity's Old Testament, ancient Arab pagan religious practices, and Zoroastrianism. Allah of Islam is the ancient Arab moon god. If you will study the Quran and the Hadith, you will find that Islam is a perfect religion doctrinally for the biblical Antichrist. The Muslim Antichrist is for the most part the biblical Christ. The Muslim Christ is the biblical Antichrist. Put another way, the Muslim Messiah, who is called the Mahdi, is the biblical Antichrist. The Muslim Antichrist is referred to as the Dajjal or the Ad-Dajjal. Apostate Western Christianity has set themselves up to be the perfect tool of an Islamic Antichrist because of their anti-Semitic replacement theology that purposely promotes the hatred of Jews and Israel. It attempts to justify the violence against Jews. Why do you think that you're seeing American cities and college campuses under attack by lawless Islamic pro-Hamas thugs? A lot of that has originated in American churches where the heresy of replacement theology is taught and preached. Replacement theology teaches that the church has replaced Israel in Bible prophecy. It is a false doctrine and a heresy that throws out every unfulfilled Bible prophecy that relates to the Jew and the nation of Israel. It is a doctrine that makes God a liar who does not know the end from the beginning. It is under the curse of God. Let me repeat that. Islam and replacement theology are under the curse of God. So let's get this straight. So you say that God did not know that Israel was going to reject the Messiah at his first advent. So he had to replace Israel with the church and abrogate at least 20% of Bible prophecy. That is absolutely, ludicrously outrageous and faithless. Whatever happened to rightly dividing the word of truth? God said this through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 through 11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. That completes our series on counterfeit churches. In our next section, we will deal with counterfeit kingdoms, which in the end will be melded together by Satan to produce a one-world government that will be promoted by a one-world church. Thank you for joining us today.